Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, boy, it was a double header, first one in a while this past weekend, and what a great little weekend you had over at the FSW Arena.
Yeah, you know, we had good crowds, and we had good wrestling, and we had good stories. Everything worked well. Future Shock, you know, the fuck-ups were minimal, so that always makes for a positive experience. You know, you got to give credit where credit is due, you know. The kids are always going to be up and down, you know. They're young kids who don't have a lot of matches under their belt, and sometimes things go awry, and everything just seemed to click on Saturday at Future Shock, and you know, Davion and Demir had a good final match to end what was a long partnership that ended badly. So, you know, all the matches delivered, and the same thing on Sunday. You know, we learned some new things, having some new talent. You know, Simone and Black Swan was excellent. Fallon Gray, you know, she really struggled her first time. I told her, I was like, oof. But I'll tell you what, you know, she's really worked hard, obviously, the last 3-4 months since we had her. And yep. And her match with SOS, who was making her debut, you know, there's so much good talent. And there's people that we couldn't get for the show. And we added a men's match to get to that seventh match. But, you know, the future is definitely bright everywhere. You know, Future Shock, we got the big show next week, or this week coming up next week, next Friday. Paid in Full, Jacob Austin Young returns. You know, you want to talk about an A-list show. The Sharp and Jay Vidal and Bateman and Layla Gray and the Suavecitos and the Mariachis and the Faction and Ice Williams. After he had been let go by the ID program, the tag titles on the line. So, you know, there's so much going on. I woke up. I got my guy who was buying the Nitro Grill sign, Kyle, who's good friends with the Godfather. I met him probably 25 years ago, Kyle. And wow. He went to – but we couldn't get – you know, me and him ain't lifting that thing and putting it in his truck. So we might get a special appearance from the Godfather coming to my house to help. Imagine, he's the guy who's going to have to lift the Nitro Grill sign for us. Then I woke up because I was half asleep. I get the email. Hey, Joe, we're going to be we'll be there at noon. I'm like, beware at noon, and who the fuck is this on the email? And I had to scroll down, and it was like in July we booked a bachelor party for a group of guys who are coming to Vegas, and this was the date. And it was like, well, nobody talked since July 14th. Like, I forgot all about it. So it's like, you know, we're going to cut this a little short. I got Bodie make a little payday. He's going to be running the bachelor party. So if you want a bachelor party, if you want a kids class, birthday party, you know, we're available for everything. So, man, it's just nonstop being busy.
Yeah. Right there, new champ. Speaking of being busy, now her plate is going to be full because Brittany has to now live up to the title that I think that she kind of felt she was entitled to.
That many people felt she was going to get a year and a half ago. And, you know, she wasn't able to put it together. And obviously the new Brittany Brooks is going to do whatever it takes to get that W, you know. And she did, and tremendous match right there. You know, it goes down, you know, right next to, not underneath, right next to Viva Van and Maserati inside the steel cage bloodbath, and yeah, as well as Maserati and Sandra Moon in a TLC match at the last Future Stars of Women's Wrestling show 4 years ago. Yeah. So, but I think we've built some stuff there with the women. And I'll tell you what, man, Layla Gray and Trisha Dora, you know, having two established AEW stars that are looking to not only be a part of everything, which, you know, that's great, people want to be on shows. But having Trisha Dora there and having her work Dana Lynn and, you know, working with a youngster who's, you know, just getting started, yeah, and being able to, you know, do good things in that match is just showing, you know, how willing and patient some of the veterans are, because sometimes the veterans aren't like that. They, you know, that there's a lot of people that just come in for the payday. They, who am I working? What's going on? Okay. All right. What the fuck? But, you know, these are people that are local. And, you know, Monday, Chris Bay came back and not only trained his usual Monday with Brittany, but, you know, we had three or four people from AEW. Fallon Gray decided to stick around an extra day, you know, and he had a class upon a class. So it's just welcoming back Chris to actually train with the regular students, running a regular class on Monday for the first time since his accident. And but before that, we had a packed house, you know. Darius from Top Flight, he moved to town and he's been hanging around and he was training and he stuck around till the later part of the class. So it's just a who's who. You know, I made a post and it's like, yeah, it really was a who's who of wrestling. Like most people would have no idea that he's here and Trish is here. And, you know, kudos to the mixed tag, Layla Gray and Lou Curtis. These are two major players that have just, hey, we're moving to Vegas. And it's like, I met Luke at a Scott Hosey card signing thing about 6 months ago. And I was talking to, it was Brian Cage, Chris Masters, and we were bullshitting. And I looked over and I see this guy in a fucking robe. And I'm like, looking at him, I'm like, who's this guy? Cosplay fucking Matt Cardona? Like, I didn't know who he was at all. And they're like, oh, he's some guy. He's out of Cali, blah, blah, blah. And then he came up and he introduced himself. Oh, yeah, we know about FSW. We're looking maybe at moving out here. Like, I didn't talk to her. Didn't know who she was at all. And then found out later, like, he didn't tell me. It was like, when he introduced himself, he came into town. Hey, this is the deal. And he's going to start training with us. And it's like, wow, he's becoming a, you know, a top flight guy on our roster immediately. So, and so is she.
Yeah.
So, you know, and now her injuries are through. And I'll tell you what, the response for Black Swan, it was kind of like the mariachi's like, why is all of a sudden, you know, I know she's had some success here in Vegas and some of the other shows, but she hasn't worked that much. But man, you know, she's got a personality and charisma that obviously, man, I'm going to have to do an intergender tag with the mariachis. Let's see how the, you know, the sound barrier breaks for that one.
Yeah. You know, on the head with the idea of the kind of the matchup, the mixes, right? Dana and, you know, getting to work Trish. One of the things that is absolutely showing through with Trish is that she, every beat she uses her face to tell a story. She just, the way she works, the way she takes the time, the way she allows for the audience to absorb and react, what she gave to Dana at those spots when Dana was making the comebacks. It's just like you don't understand when you get to work with someone like that who can kind of help you lay out that match. And that was just wonderful to see. The way that Simone worked with Black Swan, you know, it allowed Swan, here's a vet, and very well established, you know, person who's been around for, you know, 10 years practically. And man, she allowed Swan to look and do her things fluidly. And it's just exciting to see that type of, you know, give and take where it's not just, I get my shit in, I get myself over, get out of here. And it's amazing, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we used Simone a few times, probably at least 5 years ago, maybe more. So it's like, I was surprised at the level. And I was not aware that, you know, she said she was part of WOW for about 5 years. And she was their champion, which I did not know. And but I'll tell you what, working a TV product week in and week out, you could see, man, she's at a different level now. And it's like, oh wow, if now I know why the rate she quoted me was where it was. You know, I was like, wow, that's a little high. But it was like, well, you know, she's actually done an awful lot in the business since I last used her, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? Easy to deal with. And that's what you look for when you're bringing in outside talent, that, you know, they're looking to be a part of something instead of like, we're just that next random show that they're doing. And I get it. Everybody's got to earn and everybody's got to do things. But FSW has a good enough reputation to where we can get a lot of people who really want to be here. So when you can get somebody who's really, really good, a Danny Limelight, a Hammerstone, you know, all these wrestlers that we've had throughout the years that have come in and understood the situation, especially financially, because that's the most important thing. Everybody's trying to make that buck. And, you know, and you got to understand, you know, some of these wrestlers that they end up just wrestling for a living and trying not to have a regular day job and trying to, you know, coming in at a certain number, a lot of times doesn't guarantee you much of a profit, you know, unless you're selling some T-shirts and things like that. So having people that are humble and saying, you know what, I want to be a part of something. Hey, this show is stacked, just like, you know, the show next week is stacked. And we got people in there that, you know, maybe if some other guy is looking to do a show, that show is going to cost him twice as much as it's going to cost us. So, you know, much respect for, you know, the Jay Vidals and the Batemans and the Sharps. And the guys that, and the Jacob Austin Young, who now could command a, you know, much higher price, you know, that wasn't even a discussion, you know, it's like, hey, I'm gonna come back and wrestle. Okay, we'll figure it out. No problem. And that's why, you know, you go look at the independent wrestling rosters that run promotions. And if you can find a better one than ours, you know, more power to you.
Yeah.
I'll put ours up with anybody's.
No, there's, I mean, that's the whole thing. And when you think about that, you know, it just makes it even more, I think it makes it more of an environment in which the young kids are now absorbing what they're seeing. Right.
The smart ones are, you know, that's always the problem where somebody will come up. Well, why are you booking the Reno Scum? Well, why are you booking Pretty City Express? Why are you booking Hammerstone? Because they're all fucking better than you guys. Because unfortunately, the younger guys, there's a lot of them that have the mentality that they only give a fuck about themselves. They don't care about FSW. They don't care that we trained them. They'll use our name to try to get bookings elsewhere, but they won't have respect for the fact that where you come from is what's given you this opportunity. Like it or not, like me or not, everything that you're getting, it's a lot easier when you say, oh yeah, I trained with Kenny King, because, you know, guys who trained with Kenny King five times, when they tell everybody, oh yeah, Kenny King trained me, Sin Bodhi trained me, you know, and there's no disrespect to Remy and Cody, but since they don't have that name value, when they're your main trainers, you're still going to be, oh, TJP trained me. Oh, yeah, the four times. You know, Bateman trained me. Oh, the seven times. No, right. It's the whole combination of everything. And, right. You know, then when it comes time to be booked on a show and then you're questioning it, it's like, well, we already got the card all set. Dave Mizani returns. And we're going to have, after what happened at Future Shock, Jaden Cole and Bodie are going to be one part of a six-man tag against Greatness and Tenacious and Andrew Delgado. Now, of course, there was plenty of guys who did well on Future Shock. But now the A-team is stepping in. So, unfortunately, maybe there's a pre-show match for the Adrian Reigns, the Davions, the Demirs. You know, they did nothing to lower their stock, but because we need eight matches, we haven't announced it. We've got the flyer. Gypsy Mac, right back in action. She's going one-on-one with Layla Gray. And it's like, whoa, you know, if Gypsy loses, does she lose out on that opportunity to get a rematch? We have a newcomer that everybody is saying great things about. Remy put him over. Class put him over. Hammerstone put him over. Brian Cage texting me, a guy named Jimmy House, who wrestles for PCW, and he trained at the Rhodes Academy. And he's going one-on-one with Lou Curtis. So it's like, you know, people are going to look at this guy. He looks pretty jacked, this Jimmy House, but, you know, he's a bodybuilder, a trainer to the stars. He is the real deal, and he's making his debut next week. It's like, wow, you know, watch out for this guy. So, you know, and trying to get the ladies on because, you know, in reality, you know, Brittany's not available. So, you know, the date was, we had talked before and she's not available on the 12th. You know, we know she'll be there for the Halloween show and we're hoping she'll be there for the 18th. But right now, you know, we're moving on full steam ahead. You know, we have a lot of great talent. And even if the women's champion's not there, man, we got five or six to choose from. That are top of the game. So Layla's on the 12th. Zamaya's going to be here the 27th. And she didn't make the women's show. So it's like, man, we have now stacked our tag team division and we've stacked the women's division, which was always the weaker, I guess you can say, you know, parts of the roster. You know, because obviously, yeah, we got plenty of talent. But it's like, hey, with the tag teams, now we got seven or eight. Jesus Christ. And now the women, you know, they used to, there was four, you know, there was Rochelle, there was Moz, and then Brittany and Gypsy. And now there's Black Swan. And now there's Layla Gray. And now there's Trisha Dora. And now there's Simone. And then underneath that with Dana Lynn on the younger ones for the Future Shocks, the SOS and the Fallen Grays. So.
And you still have like Alice Blair out of action.
Yeah, and she's been hurt, or she, you know, she was going to be on this show. And then, you know, she's out, but we don't know for how long. So, and then there's Milo, who couldn't, you know, get off that day because it was just a late response because I couldn't find her. Somehow we got her in touch with her. And through, because it's weird, you type in the actual thing on Twitter and sometimes it doesn't show up, but it was actually the right Twitter. So it's weird. How it doesn't work sometimes. But, you know, so now, you know, she's in the mix. You know, always liked her. She's come up with Viva. Easy to deal with. Works hard. And, you know, so sky's the limit when it comes to the women's stuff.
Brooke Havoc, Bryn Thorne.
Brooke was doing her paid tour. You know, Jada Stone, who's been looking, who's come out a few times, but she moved back to North Carolina, so now it becomes a little trickier. Maya World, again, got the message late. You know, she's top talent from Texas, one of the top women's wrestlers there, looking to be a part of it. You know, Maz has got her crew, the Jocelyn Navarros, who tried to come out. Yeah. So, you know.
Kaya Dream.
You know, that's another one, not able to make it. And it was like, you know, that's through the Culture Inc. thing. And so we have, you know, we got our hands on the pulse of everything when it comes to the women talent. And then, you know, the tags, and I'm looking, and, you know, Slice Boogie and Limelight looking to get back in the mix. And we got Dominic Kubrick and Lucas Riley from Santino's that we're trying to. That's why it's like, wow, you know, I'm trying to push toward a tag team tournament just because, you know, Che and Tito and, you know, Dutra and Wise Guy, who I haven't seen in a while. And it's like, man, the Suavecitos.
Is it true that, you know, if you did a tournament like that, you could see maybe a tag team that we haven't seen in a while, like a Hammerstone and Graves?
You know, I've been, you know, me and Graves have been touching base. I saw he was on social media. He was actually, see, I don't go on Instagram, but through the FSW page, when you get the messages, you get the messages for the, you know, the Future Stars of Wrestling page and Instagram. And all of a sudden, it said something from Graves, which I thought was crazy. And it was just a screenshot of something that he sent. And I was like, oh my, I go, Graves on social media, who'd have thunk it? He goes, yeah, I got a lot of downtime. You know what I mean? And it was like, well, you know, if you got a lot of downtime, well, then maybe we bring Graves back for the luck of the draw on the 23rd, you know, since Hammerstone's already booked. And the idea is getting Ice Williams and getting Shogun and maybe Limelight and having all the ex-champions. How stacked would that be, you know, to go after the heavyweight champion?
Yeah. Oh, man. Just a lot of, you know, a lot of moving pieces. You know, when you look at going forward now, again, you got paid in full. What do we see going out of this? I mean, you know, we talked briefly, mentioned you have the title match for the tag team championship and Transcendence versus Pretty City Express, which is interesting too, because man, that's a heel on heel, old school.
You know, they're the number one contenders, and we're not going to bypass them. They don't give a shit about Saturn and Desire, Class and Reno. You know, if they had to go beat up their friends in Young Money, they would do that too. And Young Money and Mariachis, that's almost like a you know, an eliminator type match. You know, that whoever wins that match kind of gets put into that cycle of who's next in line. You got the Suavecitos versus the Faction, you know, who moves forward in that. And maybe the winner of that match wrestles the winner of the Mariachis versus Young Money, and then the winners of that get the title match. Maybe there's a triple threat. Maybe there's a fatal four-way.
You're already creating a tournament without doing a tournament.
There you go. So, you know, it's just not a one-night tournament that I like to do. But like I said, you know, you got so many teams that are capable of being the tag team champions. Pretty City already was the tag team champions.
Yeah.
Under a different name. Let's see if they have the same success. You know.
They weren't Golden Showers, right?
No, they were not.
And you know, the idea that Ice has an open challenge, Cappuccino Jones.
You never know. Maybe it's the battle of the XID guys, Jordan Oasis.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I've heard rumblings from Oasis that we've taken a lot of credit for being the ID school, the school that had, you know, two guys in it. Yet Ice Williams was always at the upper echelon in a top position, and Jordan Oasis was not used very often. And in all honesty, it was based on scheduling and trying to get things going. And it's like, hey, bro, you know, like the last show, he was like, oh, I'm available for you on the 17th. And it's like survival of the fittest. And I'm like, no offense, Jordan, I'd love to use you, but there's really nothing there. Because the idea would have been to use you on the prior shows,
right?
Get you involved in something. It's like, you know, sure, I could have randomly thrown you in a gauntlet match, which would have had to go to five guys, but it was hard not to put Andrew Delgado in the match. They had a double pin, so he didn't even lose. And even though Braxton thought they was pinned, his, you know, the foot was on the rope. I mean, that was with the Ricky Tenacious one. So
right,
he kind of, hey, we're doing a gauntlet match. This makes the most sense. Braxton was the number one contender with somebody else. The other guy got pinned. So unless I was going to five guys, I would have just had to randomly throw you in. And it was a really, the idea was it's going to be a long show to begin with. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the plan, despite not being part of the ID program, Jordan Oasis got himself in the best shape of his life, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't not want to use the guy, you know, and I did, you know, of course I want to use the clout of, you know, the guy was the ID guy through FSW. And,
right,
you know, to this day, he'll train with, you know, Aria Davario. He'll come in with some guys. And he's always had, you know, the opportunity to use the facility and things like that. So, yeah, so behind the scenes, I deal with Oasis a lot. But he looks at it, and again, everybody looks at something different. I'm telling you the story of what it is, and he can look at it, which he does, and you hear, like, hey, yeah, you know, Joe's always putting over me being part of the ID through FSW, but look at all the shows. The only show he got really booked on was, it was a last minute because Duke was in the hospital and we thought he was having a freaking aneurysm. And he came right in and he worked Matt Vandergriff and they had a really good match. And it's not nothing against them, but it's like when stories are being told, you know, yeah, I could throw you in a random battle royal or a rumble, but you know, you're not that excited about being in the battle royal at the anniversary show.
Right.
You know, or you're right being booked somewhere else for a, you know, good amount because you're an ID guy and your schedule's kind of full. So now, again, you're no different than those other guys who are like, hey, I'm available now. Can you use me? And it's like, well, if I can, I will. But it's hard for me to not use you for four shows and then you just randomly pop up on a casino show in a meaningful match.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the, you know, that's also the unique situation. I think that a lot of guys kind of forget just because they might be used to, you know, wrestling here, there, everywhere, where
or being catered to from a different promotion.
Right. Right. And that's the whole thing. You know, storylines do matter here. And that's one of the biggest things that, you know,
when that's why we were able to have a first blood match for the women's championship, because it was the story that was being told.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the coolest, aspects of, you know, again, you know, when you look online, you see a lot of these flyers coming across Facebook and you see a lot of these matches announced. You know, a lot of times you get those matches where you see, like, for instance, Hammerstone going against Mr. Kennedy. All right. It's a good matchup, right?
Yeah.
Good matchup. But there's no story behind it. It's a good pull for that company to have those two headlining their show. The question I have when I see a flyer like that is, who are the rest of these people and what is going on? Because,
well, hopefully they're not catering to you because you're not in that town or that city.
Right.
Hopefully, right, like with us, If we do a Mecca and we do two big names, like, that gets a pass to me because Hammerstone, Kennedy, hey, that's a cool match you want to see.
Right.
And you're always going to have those on shows. But I'll talk about the local companies that I try not to get too much involved with and stuff. The thing is, there's a big difference. Now, Ricky could run a show. The other one could run a show. And they could have really good matches. You know, hey, Kenny was going to wrestle Fresco, and this guy wrestled. And I'm not, and they're not good matches, and you're always going to need some. But we pride ourselves because we run the most. We run, you know, a continued thing, not a random show here. And it's all random shows, but it's the local company. So the thing is, those matches, hey, they might be matches that you wish you saw on FSW. And sometimes they're matches I was going to put together in FSW and tell more of a story to it. And I saw the Mariachis had wrestled the Suavecitos elsewhere, but there was really no build to it. It's like, well, the build is here because this is their two home companies. And it's called investing. And I put the work in to invest in trying to tell the story. Now, you could say whatever you want. Everybody has the right to do whatever they want. You want to run shows. You want to use all our guys, whatever. You know, I have difference of opinions on many of those topics. You know, many people agree and many people disagree. And it is what it is. You know, I'm trying to make sure that my guys are protected, you know, when you're a champion and you're going over to work a shit match against somebody, I'm not sure the benefit. When you get a young talent that's looking pretty good, hey, you know, rumors are always, you know, you look at the guys who started on Future Shock and they weren't that great yet, obviously. And, you know, they did okay, but they sold some tickets and then magically they're on that other companies show locally because they think they're going to sell the fucking tickets. Not because they think, hey, this guy is such a good guy and I really want him on the show. And it's, you know, so that comes the part of sometimes where I feel, and it ain't necessarily so because it's my feelings and what I think about the poaching thing. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, again, I never tell somebody, hey, you are not allowed to do this. But I try to give the heads up in certain situations. Like when you go work for any other company in town, it isn't because you're local, you do it for free. Right. You're paying dues to train at the school, and your dues are going down based on your availability and your usage on shows. When you go work for them, it's not your job. Oh, well, I get paid $20 to do the ring crew. Well, that's cool, but you need to get paid something to also wrestle. It isn't like it's all thrown in. They're using you. They're hiring somebody else's ring. You know, other than Ricky, Ricky's the only guy who has a ring in this town.
Right.
So everybody else generally will rent from them. It's funny how a lot of the companies that we deal with and stuff, they don't rent from us. The only people who do that are like TNA and Ring of Honor did and all the other big companies. But for whatever reason, the local companies, mainly because they have people who, you know, feel I didn't push them enough, not that they weren't good enough. So they don't like Joe, so don't give him the money. So Ricky's had a good benefit from that to where he gets paid. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you know, I think that's one of the better things, though, is that Ricky gets those opportunities, but you have no problem with that. And Ricky is on your shows and is a prominent, you know, person in what he does and brings and adds to.
Right. And anybody who questions me on the way I am, that should be the ultimate of, here's the guy who's basically in competition, and I'm able to separate the two. And it's like, hey, you know, we tried to get Ricky because we didn't have the extra ring, a ring for Mania weekend, you know, because I'm more than fair. I just expect to be treated with a little bit of respect. You know,
right.
I think I've earned it, you know, because if it wasn't for our school, a lot of those guys you wouldn't have the opportunity to use, because when you see some people, oh, yeah, I was in Vegas. And before that, there was no school. And what'd they do? They went to different places throughout the country to train to wrestle. You know, a guy like Matt Cage, yeah. for example, yeah. he left to go to the Midwest, who ended up doing pretty well on the Indies. And there's a kid, Wicked yeah. Wicked, on the West Coast. And he started in our kids' class, which I never knew, because I saw a post that the kid made, and it said, I saw his profile. I'm like, who is this guy? And it said, Future Stars of Wrestling. And I'm like, Future Stars of Wrestling? Who is this motherfucker? And, of course, I messaged the person, like, hey, bro, why are you putting Future Stars of Wrestling? And he was like, oh, yeah, 2 years ago I was in the kids' class. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, holy shit, didn't know. He moved away, so he stopped training, and he picked up his training. And it was funny because I was talking to Sharp, and I think he wrestled him like a month and a half ago. And he was like, holy shit, I've dealt with him a bunch of times. He never said, oh, yeah, I used to be in the kids' class at FSW. So it's like, you never know.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing.
Our lineage goes even further with some people. They were in the kids' class.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know what, and that's something that, I mean, even at UPW, you know, Rick never had a kids' class. So, you know, it's
boy, rare. He wishes he did. He was like, damn, all that money he lost out on, you know, Bassman.
Oh, yeah, of course, man. That was an extra, you know, probably about $125 a month that he could have been making off of the young kids back then, man.
There you go.
Okay. You know, we got Jake coming back. It's a Wall of Fame ceremony. He'll be in action. The biggest question for you about Jake is, what's your first memories of him when he, you know, you first saw him? Because we see how he is now, and man, Jake is top shape, top form. I mean, the guy is a pro wrestler now.
Yeah, and it's, he was a kid who came in. He met like Kid Vegas and a few other guys because they were doing, you know, Arizona shows, and Jake lived in Arizona. Right. And Jake basically picked up his life and moved to Las Vegas because he felt that was the best opportunity for him to wrestle. They were two young kids, him and Greg Romero. And I think I gave him the name. I think I did, because we put them together as a tag team, and they were called Gorgeous and Young. And that's how maybe Jacob Austin Young was born, because that's not his last name. That's how many years ago. It was about 11 years ago, because it was the old school. So 13 years ago it has to be. Because we haven't been there. We were there for 3 years. So it was 13 or 14 years ago. And Gorgeous and Young was, you know, pre-show fodder. You can count on them getting a good chance to be in a pre-show match, you know. But Jake would put in the work. We did an angle where they were going to be the co-rookie of the years. So we were going to have them have a match, and Clutch got involved, because he felt he should have been, and he laid them both out. And then he was giving Jacob Austin Young a dominator that he never practiced, and fucked up his neck and almost broke it because he didn't realize exactly how to position himself into the dominator. So those are my first memories. And then the following was when we knew that Jake was going to be the breakout star. Bryce Harrison was our No Limits champion, and Jake was the underling. And it was like, nobody can beat Bryce Harrison except maybe the guy who's right underneath him. And then right. Bryce ended up getting hurt before we could do it. And they eventually ended up having their match, and it was great, you know, full respect. You know, my kid took a good picture that I still have the posters of them shaking hands, and it took a while. And, you know, and then Jake, we did the Hall of Fame thing, and he went into being inducted when we did the following, and it branched off to Cody and Jake, who initially were, you know, hated enemies. You know, yep. Boston Young fireballed Cody in the face. And then Cody eventually, oh my God, became, which just showed up on the Facebook from 12 years ago at the Silverton. It was Sharp versus Gatson in the main event for the No Limits. And the following was reborn. Bryce had moved to Washington to do some political stuff. He came back. They all unmasked. Jake had the cash in the case. He cashed in but handed the case to Bryce. So there is a long, long history. Death Proof then got put together, and they became tag team champions, and then he became Nevada State champion. So Jake has had, you know, that run all the way through and got opportunities with Sharp to be on New Japan Strong and be at Sam's Town, and they actually had to wrestle each other, you know. Yeah. I mean, sorry, they had a tag team. And it was funny because probably 2 weeks earlier, they actually had to wrestle a match for – but those guys go way back for many years. And from what I understand, Gregory Sharp is going to be the guy to kind of induct Jacob Austin Young into the Wall of Fame. So, you know, we're real excited about that on the 12th.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a very memorable night, especially for – those fans who can make it out, who have seen his progression throughout the years.
Yeah, if you're not going to WWE at the pavilion. So if you're not a AAA fan, we have a 1A show. But you know what? You have a AAA show. We have a AA show.
Well, I'm sure that majority of the fans are probably AA bound anyway. So
hopefully. Hopefully they're not going to the other AAA.
Right.
They don't need their car towed.
But, yeah, again, that is coming up on the 12th. It's a Friday.
Yeah, special Friday show.
And the start time is 7 p.m.?
7 p.m. Yep. Same as usual. So, yeah, we look forward to it. You know, I'd love to, you know me, I'd like to talk all day. But I found out we have an event happening at the school in 25 minutes that we booked in July, and they just reminded me 2 hours ago, so I had to scramble. I got Bodie. So it's a bunch of guys, guys getting married, a big wrestling fan, and he's decided that he wants to roll around a ring.
Yeah. Well, you know, good for Bodie. Bodie's bachelor party taking place at FSW in 20 minutes.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, again, great to it for things. And, you know, this is an opportunity, again, if you have anything in the future, and it's been used for weddings, it's been used for, you know, concerts. So
yeah, fake boxing matches,
right?
LFC.
Yeah.
We have a breaking tournament coming up on October 11th, and it's not break dancing. They're going to actually break like boards and concrete. I guess that's, you know, as seen on the Ocho, if you have ESPN 8, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's coming up.
So just keep that in mind if you're looking for an event. But for now, Joe, let's call it an afternoon, and you can head over to the school and, you know, get some bachelors tossed around in the ring by Podium.
There you go. Gotta get those waivers made.
Exactly. All right, everyone. Until next time, happy wrestling, everybody.